Good. Are you sitting over there today? Gee whiz, I don't know what to do here. I don't quite feel right now. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we were in Texas last week and our niece's wedding, and so anyway, I didn't go to church on Sunday. Man, I felt like I backslidden or something, you know. It just it didn't feel quite right, you know, but we had a great time. Thank you all for your prayers. I appreciate that so much. And we're going to pray right now for everyone. Kathy and Karen, they were traveling. And I know we got Renee here, and you know, had surgery and sick. Who else do we want to lift up? You want to name somebody?
Marion and Lynn are both sick.
Okay, they're sick. Okay. All right, amen. Amen. Who else? Anyone else? Okay. Anyone else? Amen. Okay. Well, Lord, we want to pray. Everybody's on our heart, and those that are sick and in need, whatever that need may be, travel, Lord God, whatever the need may be, Lord, each and every one that we've lifted up before you right now, Lord, we pray for. May the good hand of the Lord, may the healing grace of God, may safety, may security, may the presence of the Lord, Father God, the uplifting hand of God. I just want to lift up right now the uplifting hand of the Lord, and we thank you for imparting that to each one. We give you the glory and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, glory to God. I'm going to have you to turn to Luke chapter 10. And, you know, this is prophetic Sunday. And I want to speak this as we go along here, that prophetic Sunday in a little bit here. I'm going to give a little bit of a word here. And then we want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And this is the first one of this year of 2025. We will have other times, other Sundays, when we will have prophetic Sunday, just like we've had prayer and proclamation of prayers on our miracle table. Keep on putting in your prayers. I don't care if you're putting in the same ones. When things come on your heart, you get up here, you get a piece of paper, and you put it on there. Not only that, all right, it's time for us to grow. It's time for us to grow, all right? It's time for us to grow. Okay, will you come in here, and you know, you don't have to do it every Sunday. Get up here on this table and put your hands on it and pray over it. Put your hands on the table. We have had, in 2024, we've had teams assigned, and we've had teams to recruit others to come up here and pray with them, all right? Now, what we need to grow, all right, so you need to take it on yourself. You need to take it on your heart to come up here. And to come up here and put your hands on this. Stay the whole time of prayer time on that table. Or come up and touch it and pray over it and go back and do what you want to do. But let's come together. Let's come together and let's do this. That's that prayer table. Let's have breakthroughs. Let's see the miracle working hand of God. We need to believe for miracles, more miracles in 2025. Miracles are meant to be a regular part of the saints of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe for more miracles in order to have more miracles. Does that make sense? We need to believe for more miracles if we're going to have more miracles. And the more we believe God for miracles, then the more miracles God will bring. If we do not want to believe for miracles, miracles will still come. Occasionally, God is so good and he's so gracious, but we won't have them the way that he wants us to have them. Are you with me there? And they measure themselves by themselves and they are without any understanding. That's a very important verse of scripture. You know, that's what people do. That's what churches do. They measure themselves by themselves, and they are without any understanding. I don't care what another church is seeing or not seeing. I don't care what other Christians are doing or not doing. I mean within itself, as far as the vision that we have for us here and what we expect for God to do here in our midst, right? We're looking to go on in the Lord. Do we not want to go on in the Lord? We want to go on in the Lord. I do not want to be simply a church goer. Are you with me there? You know, I don't want to be a church goer, right? I want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to experience the Lord. I want God to meet with me when I come to church. Don't you want Him to meet with you? That's what we want. Do we not want to experience Jesus? We want to experience Jesus, not simply know about Jesus. We want the power of God in our lives. We want breakthroughs to come forth into our lives in prayer, in families, in homes, and in other people's lives, and the miracle-working power coming into our lives. And this is a word that the Lord had given me, and it's been so strong, and that is that we be a conduit, a conduit. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, may you make us a conduit to the power of God. May you, Lord God, make this place, Lord God, a conduit of the power of God. May you make each individual here, in the name of Jesus, a conduit of the power of Almighty God. It's the power that changes people's lives, not good, pretty, and nice words. Not even just the word of the Lord. If there's no power behind it, it's just nothing but words. I don't know what got me off on all that, but there we are. So anyway, and then, so we want to do that, the prayer table. We're going to have a prophetic Sunday here. Now, and you know, and it's not preach time. It's a prophetic Sunday. I didn't explain myself maybe real well, but this is the first one that we'll have. We will have many more. We'll have many more as well. We want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And so with that, now this can be a word that's on your heart right now, okay? You know, the Lord is speaking a word to me right now. You know, it can be a prophetic word that God's giving you wrote down, right? I mean, you know, we don't have to be flowery, right? We don't have to be dramatic, right? You know, we don't have to have all those trappings. You don't have to have all those trappings. You know, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. So, you know, here's some things that are wrote down, something that God had given me. I will read that later, a prophetic word that the Lord gave me. God gives to me more like that than He does, you know, standing up in church. But anyway, so you can do that, or you can got something on your heart. If you got two words on your heart, three words on your heart, one word on your heart, whatever it would be, you know, by the Spirit of the living God. That's what we're doing here. That's what we're going to do here. We're going to do it more times than throughout the year. So this is just really the beginning. This is really the beginning. So I'm going to take you through a few scriptures, if you don't mind. You know, this is Prophetic Sunday. You're in Luke 10, right? Luke 10. And if I gave a title along with it, subtitle, it would be God Wants to Speak to You. God wants to speak to you. I would simply say that I remember when that became a revelation to me in my own personal life, right? You know, oh, wait a minute, that God wants to speak to me. You know, that was a great revelation to me. You know, it wasn't that I didn't expect God to speak, or I know He spoke, or, you know, He's going to probably talk to the preacher, you know, and then He's going to, you know, speak to, you know, other more spiritual people. You know, I don't really see myself as, you know, necessarily too spiritual. You don't have to. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you. Now, when I'm saying that to you, will you start expecting to hear from God? Will you, if God, if that is true and you believe that, if that is true and you believe that, and it's all through the Scripture that God wants to speak to the beloved of the Lord. Do you know that He will lead and guide your life in ways that you will not be led if you're not listening to Him? If you're not looking to be led by the Spirit of God, you just, as a matter of fact, probably won't be. If you're not looking to be led by the Spirit of God, you probably won't be. You will wander around in your Christian life under your own power and under your own might and under the influences of your own mind, God forbid. And you know, under your own mind, and you will eat the fruit of your labors. Or you can give it all up and look to be led and be yielded to the Spirit of God and have a spirit of expectation. I'm going to talk more about that in a minute, but let the spirit of expectation be developed in you. Let the spirit of expectation be developed. And the way it starts to be developed is you start doing it, right? You start doing it. You start having about you a spirit of expectation. You take it on more. You take it on more. And you take it on more. And this is the way of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And then what happens is that starts to invade your life. It's not you just doing it. It will be you initiating it, but it will be the Spirit of the living God that will take hold of it once you begin to initiate it. You initiate this in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own life, and then the Spirit of God says, okay, then. You have an expectation to hear the voice of God. You want God to talk to you. You want to be led by the Spirit of God. Then all right, then you will get it. We got to get rid of that old attitude, as I've talked about it before so much. You know, then many just don't know any better, but now we do know better. And that is, we cannot have an attitude that sits back and says, you know, well, if God wants to do it, He can. He won't. He won't. Because that's not a hungry heart. And if you don't have a hungry heart, get one. If you don't have a hungry heart, get one. Don't sit back and just pine away singing the woes is me, right? Woe me, woe is me. Things just don't go good in my life. Woe is me. Some people love the spirit of self-pity. In the name of Jesus, self-pity spirit, get out of this place. In Jesus' name. Get out of this place in Jesus' name. Don't be wrapped up in a self-pity spirit. Let God raise you. Let Him raise you in the power, in the glory, in the grace, in the love of Almighty God, in the transforming power of Almighty God that transforms and changes you and me and makes us more than we ever could have been. In our own strength. Make us more. Takes away our negativities. I'm sorry if no one's told you. Let me be the first. You got some negativities. You got some negativities. Many times we just are powerless to do anything about our negativities. I mean, that's just the truth of it. And then there brings great discouragements in our life, right? You know, because we put forth effort, but it's not going to be removed through effort. Because it can't be removed by flesh and blood. It will be removed by the Spirit. It will be removed by the Spirit. And He will remove it. He's not going to change your personality, but He sure will improve it. Okay? He sure will improve it. And there's no doubt about that. And, you know, you're on that avenue. You're on that pathway. You're walking in that grace right now. Walk with the Spirit of God. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Lay down all of your efforts and begin to expect and begin to believe. Be in the Word of the Lord. Take hold of the sword of the Spirit and begin to see things that speak to you. And stop right there in your reading and lift it up to God and believe God for that which is touching your heart at that moment. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. Oh, bless His name. What an adventure we live in. I came to this scripture because I wanted to read it, and because we are to be a people of the Spirit, and this is one of, I don't have a favorite verse. I love this verse, though, and this is in Luke, and they come back, and they had been sent out two by two, and they come back in the power of God. They had saw miracles. They had saw the power of God breaking the power of the evil one and the like. And then this is what had happened at verse 21 in Luke 10. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly. This is the Lord Jesus. He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and the intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. You know, it's not being wise. It's not walking in your intellectual understanding. We want to be people of the Spirit, not a people of the intellect. This invaded the church. It's been the plan of the evil one. That spirituality is through intellectualism. And nothing could be further from the truth. Spirituality is not imparted through intellectualism. You can be as intellectual as you want and be totally and completely defeated. It's not intellectualism. It's not a matter of reasoning. It's from the heart. And the Spirit. The Spirit moves through the heart, not the intellect. And then the intellect is changed through the enlightenment by the Spirit in the heart. And then that's when you possess the mind of Christ. That's when you possess the mind of Christ. And that's what you want. You know all you want. Quote the Greek and the Hebrew. I love to look, I study. Okay, I've been a student for many years. I study. I study the Greek. I study the Hebrew. I break down texts. I break down scriptures. I break down phrases and all the like. And I love it, and I love doing it. But it does not make you a spiritual person. It does not make you a spiritual person. It's the Holy Spirit's power that transforms your heart. And then your thinking will be transformed by the enlightenment that comes up into your intellectual mind that's coming in the power of the Holy Spirit through the heart. So notice the things that happen here. You notice that one, you know, is that he prayed something. But first, before he prayed something, it said, and at this very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. This is the Lord Jesus here. This is the Lord Jesus. He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. We must be, if we want to be like Jesus, we must be a Holy Spirit people. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. This is all through Scripture. This is all through Scripture. And so we must be a Spirit-filled people. We must not be afraid of the things of the Spirit. Are you hearing me? We must not be afraid of the things of the Spirit. Whether I'm experiencing it or not, all right? We must go by what the Word of the Lord says. And we must give the Holy Spirit freedom. We're not ashamed. Are you ashamed? I'm not. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. I'm not. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. I'm not afraid of the moving of the Holy Spirit. If you are afraid of the moving of the Holy Spirit, get over it. Get over it. Okay? You know, repent. Lift up your fears. Lift up your fears. You know, the evil one, see, he wants to separate the Holy Spirit from the body of Christ as much as he can, and as much as out of the life of the believer as he possibly can, because he knows that without the Holy Spirit, it leaves you up to yourself in your flesh. And good luck with that one. That's the plan of the evil one. That's the plan of the evil one. So I want you to see that your Lord and that your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in 21, that at that very time, he, Jesus, rejoiced greatly. Not little, not some. It uses the word greatly. He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, if we could have seen, I mean, Jesus, okay, walking around like this, you know, the attitude and what we get by, you know, whatever, you know, this is Jesus. Are you kidding me? Jesus shouted. Jesus danced. Jesus worshiped. Right? I'm sure there's times that, and pardon me as I say it, I don't want to offend anybody, but, you know, I'm just using words. And that is that I bet there's times he looked like a wild man. I bet there's times he looked like a wild man. You know? You know, because he was so moved by the Spirit in his worship. Are you following me there? You know, I mean, Jesus didn't walk around like you just saw me. He didn't walk around and, you know, oh, yes, dearly beloved. Yes, the Lord, he's just so good. Yes, you should seek him. You should seek him with all of your heart. And if you will, you will find him. That's what the movie people love to do. A mealy mouse weak man, right? A mealy mouse weak man, okay, is the image they always have of Jesus, and nothing could be further from the truth. You know, and a pastor is always a man that's corrupt with no spine. Always corrupt with no spine. That's how they do it. Why is that? Because that's called the world. All right, I don't care what movie you watch about Jesus, it came from the world. Just be mindful of that, right? And that's not, it may be exactly who Jesus is. Jesus was a man's man, okay? I'm just telling you right now, Jesus was a man's man. I'll give proof texts of that. You know, because he went in to that temple and he looked around and he looked in that temple and he decided that he didn't like what he saw. And he went out and he made a whip of cords. He went back into that temple and he used that whip. Now, you know, I can't picture him not saying anything, can you? If he's using that whip, I think he had a lot to say at the same time, right? Don't you? And you know, not only that, but what else did it say that he did? That he overturned the tables of the money changers, right? Isn't that what he did? So can't you see him? Get out of here! Quit making my father's house a robber's den. Get out of here! And he pushed that table down, flipped that one over. There's your mealy mouse, weak little Jesus. No, he was a man's man. You understand the violent man and the man, and this is why we ought to despise ill tempers. Because that's not a man. That's a weak man. A self-controlled man is a real man. You understand that's what the evil one does is he perverts things. So the big mouth, you know, ugh, you know, and the more violent he is, see, I just kicked off the napkins here, but you know, the more violent that he is, you know, the more rude he is, the more out of control he is, you know, like, you know, that's a man. No, it's not. That's a weakling because he has no self-control. That's a weak man. See, the evil one and the world perverts what is a man, perverts what is a woman, right? Okay, that's the work of the evil one. Jesus was a man's man. You know why? Because he had self-control. And not only did he have self-control, but he was filled with goodness. And he always thought about others. But he had no fear. He didn't have any fear. When Pilate was there, right? Pilate was used to people sniveling, crying, begging, and falling at their feet, right? Asking for mercy. That's what Pilate was used to seeing. Jesus stood there, looked him straight in the eye. And Pilate could see that this man was not afraid of him. Pilate could see that this man was not afraid of dying. He could see that this man was not willing to do just anything, all things, and everything that would save his life. Because this was a different man. And he looked him straight in the eye, not down at the dirt, not down at the ground, not holding his head low. No, he didn't do any of that. He looked Pilate straight in the eye in confidence and in strength. And Pilate said to him, "You don't answer me? You don't answer me? Do you not know that I have the power of life and death over you?" Because Pilate wasn't used to that. But he ran into the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a real man that had no fear of Pilate. Now this is a man. This is the man Jesus. This is a real man. This is who Jesus was. But he was a man of the Spirit. We need to be a people of the Spirit. A people of the Spirit. I'm just going to have you to turn to one other thing, and that is in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I just want you to see, I have a lot of things that I can say about the Holy Spirit, and I will as time goes forward. We're going to talk about operating in the Spirit. We're going to talk about how you move into the realm of operating in the Spirit. Because I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has places of operations in Him for everyone that is in here. I don't care how long you've been walking with God. You have to come into those things. They don't fall on top of you. You have to come into those things. Everything that God has for you, you have to come into it. Some people never do. They just don't. Okay? Some do somewhat. And then those that will really press forward and press on will find the fullness of the operations of the Holy Spirit within their lives and be placed divinely into the kingdom of God, operating in the fullness of that Spirit and serving the Lord in just the way that God wants them to serve Him. In the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be the preacher to operate in the fullness of the Spirit. All right, so we want to go down that course and that pathway because that's when God has His will. See, when we hear, we say, "Lord, we're not following after our will. We want to follow after Your will." Then when we do that individually, and we do it as a church, then He comes and He begins to implement His will. Are you hearing me? Okay. You know, we give up our will to be found in His will. First, personally. And then second, we do it here as a body. So that we say, "Lord, you know, we can't do anything in our own strength. But Lord, may Your will be done here." And I'm not talking about praying words, we're believing God for it. We're believing God in that manner. We're not just saying, "Oh, may the will of the Lord be done." No, I mean, that's not what we're doing. No, we're really, truly submitting and yielding. "Lord, may Your will be done." Now, when that happens, then the Holy Spirit gets loosed in this place in ways that will lead us into exactly the will of God. And behind it all is a victorious life, a victorious church, that is not hidden in the corner somewhere, but is winning souls and seeing the glory of God. And that's what He will do. That's what He will do. All right, are you in Acts now? And I just want you, this is when the Spirit of the Lord was poured out. I got to do this quickly. This is in Acts chapter 2. Verse 16 says, but this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Now, you know, that was in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. And this is the quote, part of it, not all of it. And then in verse 17, and it shall be in the last days. So this was the announcement of the last days. When the church was ushered into the world and established, that's when the last days started. We've been living in the last days ever since the coming of the church. And then it goes on. God says, look here, that I will pour forth of my spirit. Now, do you see this? So the church was to be a church of the spirit. The evidence of the church being who they were was because of the Spirit. And that I will pour forth my Spirit upon all mankind. Nobody's exempt. Nobody's exempt. Now look here. And your sons and your daughters shall, what shall they do? They shall prophesy. Isn't that amazing? Because we will look at gifts of the Spirit at a later point. Praise God for all the gifts of the Spirit. But what does he say here? The first thing he says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. And I'm going to pour it out on all mankind. And then, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pour it out on your sons and your daughters. And what are they going to do? They're going to prophesy. You know that word, the word for prophetera, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-E-I-A, that's the word for prophecy. And this is what it means. It means a prophetic utterance. It means the word prophecy. And it means to foretell or tell forth. You know what God is doing. What does God want to do? We hear it because of the prophetic word. Where is he encouraging us? Where is he leading us? You know, we receive guidance, direction. We receive strength to our faith. We receive boldness. Sometimes we receive admonishments. There's all kinds of things. And it becomes the temperature of the mind of the Spirit in the now. The word of the Lord through the ages. The word of the Lord through the ages. And after I'm long gone, it will still be the word of the Lord through the ages. But the prophetic word through the Spirit is the temperature of the mind of God for that generation living at that point in time now. So now you get the point of why prophecy is important. Why the Holy Spirit is important. Okay, then it goes on and it says your sons and daughters. I mean to tell you, that was something. Not just your sons, not just your leaders, but your sons and your daughters. Okay, and then he breaks it down and he says this, your sons and daughters shall prophesy and your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. What category do I fall in there, you know? But here's the point right here. Okay, you're young men. What do you mean? Well, you know, vision, revelation, understanding, light, discernment, the mind of the Lord, the heart of the Lord, and knowing God. You know, the young men, they will see visions of the Lord. They will have visions. Visions are not only just see, but visions come to the heart. And then your old men will dream dreams. Well, what in the world? What in the world dream dreams? This is the dream of God. They, because of it's an understanding that's given, because they have been seasoned walking with God, that the Spirit is able to take them into another level. And that other level is that by the Spirit of the Lord, they will dream the things that only God could do. And if we will seek Him and follow Him, He will do them. Things that would never enter into your heart. Things that would never enter into your mind. That your mind cannot contain it. As to all that God would show and would do. And then the older men, as he's talking here, receive by the Spirit these dreams. these dreams, and then they become a reality because they begin to speak them. They begin to make it known. The church lays hold of them. The church begins to believe on things that God would do that others will laugh at and say, that's impossible. Yes, it is, but not for my God. So I hope you see that. I want you to see that. Beatrice, why don't you come on up here? Where's that microphone at? Mike, where's that microphone? Is it back there? Behind me? Oh. Well, I need the held mic because Beatrice is going to go through here. Do we have that mic? Do we have the wire without the cord? It's here too. Wireless? It's what? It's gone. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I pray right now in the power of the Holy Spirit that the spirit of prophecy be loosed in this place. The spirit of prophecy as spoken through the word of the Lord. Father, we seek to be that people that follow the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord God, we lift this up to you now in the name of Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit be loosed in this place in a way that he's never been before. In what ways that we've never seen him before. We receive him. We receive him in whatever he seeks to do. May it be done in the life of each one of us in the name of Jesus, that in the year 2025, that we will find the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the establishment of the purpose and will and mind of God for our lives more than we've ever known ever before. It will unfold in a great way. It will unfold in a mighty way. We will not feel like that we're lost and that we're wandering around. We will no longer feel out of place or displaced. We will see ourselves being fitly joined in the body of Christ, exactly where God has called us to be. We will no longer be striving after the way of the flesh or the will of man or the strength of man. We will be established by the power that has come into our lives by the Holy Spirit. The word of prophecy will come into the sons and the daughters. The will of prophecy, the word of prophecy, will come upon all mankind. The young men will see visions of God, and they will speak them and make them known. The old men will dream dreams of the impossibility that only God could do if he found a people that would call and ask and would begin to believe for things that the natural mind looks upon and says, that's silly. That is silly. That is silly. That is crazy. You're crazy. But oh, but set for by God. In the mighty, holy, righteous name of Jesus, let these things be loose now. Let them be established in this place, oh Lord God. And we thank you for the uplifting power of Almighty God. New power, new strength, new glory, new grace. In the name of Jesus, to the beloved of the Lord. You have some? Here.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Oh, thanks for technology. Thank you, brother. Before I pass it on to anybody, this is what I feel the Spirit of the Living God giving us this morning. I just heard him say, the incoming of my kingdom is at hand. Be a participant, not a spectator. Give your whole to his service. Rise above pettiness. Now, the pettiness is things that don't matter in the kingdom of God. Press on until you see a change in your situations. That's what I felt coming to me this morning. And while I got the platform, I'm going to read what Renee sent just a minute ago. She says, I hear the Lord say to us to dispel the darkness in your life. Just as we gave a mandate to the new president to clean house, we have a mandate from the Lord to clean house. We must now focus on getting our lives clean, full of the Holy Spirit, full of His Word, letting go of things that don't need to be there, letting go of people, things, and activities, whatever it may be. We have a mandate to subdue and take dominion over the earth, and He wants His church to do that now. But we have to be clean to be able to operate in the authority He has given us. The Lord says your mandate is to clean up, subdue, and dispel the darkness in your life and surroundings. That just came in from Renee.
You have something else there? Okay. Who has? You can say, you don't have to be a prophet, right? You don't have to be a prophet. Who has a word? Who has another word? You have a word?
Can I just talk loud? Good morning. I want to share something God gave me. And first of all, there was something from last year when it was spoken here in the fellowship, how break, rumble, and get on the train. Do y'all remember that? Kathy spoke, break the chain links. Renee spoke, rumble, the dry bones are being restored. And Pastor Ron said, get on the train. And then there was a word that the Spirit came upon me, and He said, the only way we get into those three things is by your prayer closet. You have to get into your prayer closets and begin to seek God like never before, just like the message that completely went forth just a minute ago. And what the Lord showed me on 11/24/24, and how we were so praying for this nation, and He spoke to me in the night, and He said, God is going through a field of carried answers. And what is your field? Like Pastor said, your heart. You have got to get your heart right with God. He's going through. Are you in specifically asking for things? And if your heart is not right, there is not going to be the answer. You have to be in prayer. You have to be in your prayer closet. And you have to have your life right with God. He said, sometimes it takes years to answer these prayers, but God knows all the timing. He knows where we are in our lives, and He knows the timing when we will be able to handle those answered prayers. And I look back on so many things and thank Him that He didn't give me the answers to those prayers, because I probably wouldn't be standing here today until He gets your heart right with God.
Like to expound on. Do I have to? Can you hear me?
Let me do that.
I don't want to. I'm fine. I got good vocals. Huh? I can't really concentrate with all that stuff. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. What? Holy mackerel, Andy. Okay. You know, when Peter was speaking, when the Lord was speaking in parables to Peter and to the apostles, Peter said, why don't you speak to us? Why don't you speak plainly? What are you carrying on with all these parables? Why don't you, you know? And he said, well, so these guys over here won't understand and get saved. What is that, you know? Well, that's what a field of carried answers. Cindy and I struggled with this word that the Lord gave her. The Lord is going through a field of carried answers. And I mean, we struggled for what? A couple of weeks with this thing. A field of carried answers. Well, the Lord wanted us to struggle because He wanted us to spend time with Him, and He showed us what that was. A field of carried answers. The Lord is going through. He didn't say the Lord's, I'm going through a field carrying the answers. He didn't say that. He said, I'm going through a field of carried answers. And so we sought the Lord on it. And the Lord revealed to us that our hearts are the field. And by faith, believe that you have, when you pray, believe that you have received. Believe that you have already received the answer. So you're carrying the answer in your heart, although it's not been fulfilled. That's the field of carried answers. So the Lord, I'm a writer. So the Lord gave me, he gave that to Cindy on February, the night of February 14th, 11:24. And he gave me the interpretation in the form of a psalm on Christmas morning. And it's called A Field of Carried Answers. There is a field of carried answers the Lord is moving through. Fertile fields of faithful hearts that have been sown into. Planted in the souls of men for ages, they've slept. Precious seeds of promise just yearning to be fetched. Well, we've all been there. Kept there beneath the fallow ground. Until the stones are stacked and the briars and the brambles are but kindling for the match. Got to get the briars and brambles out of our heart. Yes, it's painful to die daily, to harrow hallowed ground, to have our dirt clods busted up by the cold steel of the plow, especially in front of everyone, right? Until the deadly nightshade, the hemlock, and little boy blue, not to mention Red Riding Hood and the ones you can't see through, fables, are cleared out for the harvest, for we reap just what we sow, unless we wait upon the Lord for what is carried by the Lord. It is a field of carried answers the Lord is moving through, bringing forth the promises, forever faithful, forever true.
I feel very professional now. I hope I look it. A while back, you were talking about us being conduits in prayer. And the Lord just brought this back to my mind, and I hope I can make it make sense to you. But he showed me as I was praying one day, it was like right outside my window, there was this huge, huge, huge power plant. And current was just, you could just see it going from pole to pole to pole. And here I was inside of my house. And he just showed me, that's him. That's him, that power plant. He's got it all. It's moving. It's alive. It's ready. And it's ready for me to stick the plug of prayer into the receptacle that will allow that the Holy Spirit to bring that power into my house, into me. And it's just ready and it's waiting.
I received word of restoration. I don't know if it's just for me, but I got it at the beginning of the year, and it was more than just restoration of relationships. It's restoration of the body to Christ and the spiritual restoration, physical restoration of healing. It's just, it encompasses everything. It's just everything. But we have to be willing to move. We have to be willing to put forth the work to reach out and receive that restoration. But that was the word that I got at the beginning of the year. So I know it was for me and my family.
The theme that I see from all the word that has come forth is power source plug in, restoration. You have to plug in, you have to open your heart and receive and let the Lord move in your heart and use your heart to release those things. And then don't put away things that don't matter. Petty things, put them away. Let the Lord use you. Let the Lord flow in through to you. And even what Renee gave, it's all connected. God is calling us as a church to be connected to that power source. There's a power source that He has for us, for you and I, to go into. And once we receive it, once we plug in, we will see things that He wants to release into our lives. We will see Him move in our situation. And it's very important for us to stay plugged in. Because once you unplug yourself, once something you want to see operating, once you unplug it, it won't function. So we need to stay plugged in. We need to stay close to Him. We don't need to stay sit in the back seat. Many of us, some of us have taken the back seat for too long. But God is saying, come out of that seat. Be a participant. Be in there. Do what I'm calling you to do. Mm-hmm. Pray about these things that I've laid upon your heart. Go to the people that I'm putting upon your heart to go to and talk to them. Let me do it. The power is from me. I'm just using you as a vessel to go out and reach these places, reach these hearts. Reach these people. Restore these people. Amen.
Amen. Bless you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And one last word. And why don't you all come on up? We'll praise and worship people. Come on back up. And as you're coming, and I won't prolong this, but this is the word. I should have brought my cardboard. But I didn't. I started to. I've been carrying around a cardboard that is about that long and about that big, and I've been carrying it for about 3 or 4 months. I was in one of the storage rooms at work, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and gave me this word, and I took out my box cutter, and I cut out the side of a box, and I began writing it down. And I've been carrying it around in my backpack and all, and like, okay, I mean, I could feel this is not the time, this is not the time, this is not the time. And it's so funny because then the Holy Spirit had spoke to me that today was the time. And so in the name of Jesus, I release this word and the power of the Holy Spirit upon all of the beloved of the Lord here today. You are more than you think you are. You are the man of the Spirit. You are the man of Jesus. You are members of His body on the earth today. You have a divine destiny to fulfill in Christ. There is a resistance to the dawning of light. Light and understanding into the divine world belongs to you in Christ. Reach forward and take your place in the divine order reserved for you in the kingdom of God. How the evil one fights against the light of truth coming into your consciousness to become a reality. The resistance is with a barrage of negativity about yourself or within yourself. He especially uses your vulnerabilities against you. The soft spots of weakness within yourself. But today, I proclaim this word over the beloved of the Lord. Be clothed in the man of Christ. Be clothed in the Spirit of the Lord. Be clothed in Jesus. Receive the divine clothing as it's released upon you now in Jesus' name. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you, oh Lord God, and we give you glory. Let's worship a minute. Let's all stand. Just maybe a word for one or two or many, I don't know. But, you know, this is the mind of the Lord. Put your past away and do not let your past dictate to your future. You are not who you have been in your past. Hear the word of the Lord today. You have a future and a hope. And it's found in, not in yourself, in Jesus. Reach forward into the hope that God has offered to us. Because it's new for our future, for our tomorrow. Father, we love you and praise you. And I thank you for the blessing of the Lord. And thank you, Father, that just as the word of the Lord said, that, Lord God, you did not leave us as orphans. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, Lord God, that you didn't leave us as orphans. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, the helper. Thank you for the love, the unfailing love of God. Thank you, oh, Lord God, Lord, that you have redeemed us, oh, Lord. And I thank you for your blessing upon your holy beloved. We love you. Teach us to love you more and show us your way as we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Can I have your attention?
God bless.